If you will turn with me to Mark chapter 23. I'm going to be a little bit more like my dad tonight than maybe in the past. I'm going to read multiple scriptures. I always tease about my dad. He will read half the Bible before he even preaches. And it's kind of funny because then he just goes, and it's rather interesting how it does. I usually just try to pick out a verse, but tonight I can't do that. Tonight I'm going to read several verses, and we'll start in Mark chapter 8, verse 23. And he took a blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now if you will turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And verse 51, this is blind Bartimaeus. It says, and Jesus answering said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to speak on this subject, and I could probably read one more and change my title if I want, but they're already beating me to it. Steve's quick back here. I could read one more passage and change my title slightly, but I'm going to preach on two blind men, or I could make it three blind men if I wanted to, and we might end up going that route. And let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me tonight. Lord, let this be more than just a Bible study. But God, let your word come alive before us. Let your word speak to our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be challenged and encouraged. God, that there would be something said here tonight, Lord, would sink into our hearts. Lord, would cause us to decide to maybe do something more. God, to allow you, Lord, to do something in our lives, maybe that we haven't allowed you before. God, I pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us. I pray that you lead my thoughts here tonight. Guide this message in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Two blind men. How many have heard the nursery rhyme, three blind mice, three blind mice? See how... Yeah, I had to look this up, by the way. I didn't know it by heart. See how they run, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife who cut off their tail with a carving knife. Such a... And when I started thinking about that, and I'm like, wow, what an image to teach your kids. Stay away from mom if she's got a carving knife. I think that's what I got out of the passage of three blind mice. Only if you're a mouse. And actually, it's kind of funny. That really has nothing to do with my sermon. I just, as I put it together, really, that after, and actually, I was already done, and that crazy little nursery rhyme popped into my brain, three blind mice, three blind mice. Matter of fact, I went online to find it and realized that there's a new version out, or what they call a complete version, called Ye three blind mice, and actually gives a whole story about the three blind mice, how they start off as naughty mice that are not necessarily good. They run away and they decide to do different things, and they end up blind, and but somehow they go get some kind of chemical and it changes them and they turn their life around. So anyway, for what it's worth. You may be dismissed, right? No, I'm just kidding. Brother Lou, you came just for that tonight. You know that? You feel blessed, don't you? He's like, I woke up for that. Blindness in Scripture has always held a spiritual meaning. It's a very natural thing that has spiritual implications. Throughout the Bible, there are mentions of the blind. It was sometimes used as a curse. Blindness would come as a curse. We have seen this. I believe there was a child, and he said, "Well, what did he do? Was it his parents, or was it something he did?" And sometimes it was for medical reasons, and sometimes it was from birth that people were blind. One thing I found interesting about the blind is that God from the Old Testament made sure his people took care of the blind. He wanted to make sure that his chosen people made sure to look after the blind. He actually wrote it in the law of Leviticus when he wrote it in Leviticus 19:14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. He also writes it in Deuteronomy 27. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say yea and amen. Matter of fact, we find one of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah was that he would heal the blind. The Bible tells us in Luke 4:18 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I believe wholeheartedly that this passage that Jesus was reading from had more to do than a physical blindness. This preaching the gospel and this recovering of the sight to the blind had more to do than just a natural or physical recovering from blindness. But I believe that Jesus came to recover the sight of those who are blind spiritually. Jesus was not just concerned with healing physical blindness, because right after healing a blind man, he makes this statement, letting us know that this blindness is more than just something that's in the natural. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" They understood that he was not talking in a natural sense. They understood that he was speaking spiritually, that your eyes have been blinded. Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remains."
Jesus speaking to them, using a natural phenomenon to give a spiritual principle, says, because you see, you're blind. And if you were blind, you would have no sin. Or, I'm sorry, you should have no sin. He did not say that we won't, if we're blind, we don't sin. But he is trying to make an implication here that these Pharisees or these religious leaders or these people who felt as though they had everything all together, he says, you, because of the way you see yourself and the way you see others, you have sin. But if you would understand and recognize that you yourself is in need of a Savior as much as they, you would not be in the situation you're in. We must understand that we are not this way because there's something special about us. I haven't made my way to God and served God and loved God because something's better about me than about anybody else. I need a Savior just as much as they need a Savior. I need a man, I need the man Christ Jesus to shed his blood for me just the same as they did. Jesus, showing that he has a sense of humor, says to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 24, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Anyone ever tried to swallow a camel? Now I want you to see that picture in your mind. He was trying to use two things that were polar opposites that the people would recognize and understand the point. He says, you're sitting there swatting at a gnat. Now, if there was a gnat flying right here, chances are I could be swatting at it and you still wouldn't see it because they're so small. You wouldn't even be able to find it. Matter of fact, we've probably swallowed more gnats than we'd like to. If you've ever ate a picnic outside, you've ever been around a bonfire, you've ever done anything else, I guarantee you swallowed some gnats. I'm breaking the news to somebody today that you have swallowed. Matter of fact, have you ever... Have you ever read on the back, you know, you buy peanuts that are already shelled? Have you ever read on the back? You know, it may contain other traces. Do you know they say that there are... Never mind. Put it this way, you're swallowing gnats. Somebody that just said, I'm never eating those things again. Jesus, showing kind of a sense of humor, he says, you're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. That's worse than putting your foot in the mouth. I mean, think about the size of a camel. But he's making such a ridiculous statement to try to grab their attention that you're majoring on the minors and you're minoring on the majors. You're worrying about things that you shouldn't be worrying about, and you're leaving undone the things that are vitally important for your salvation. And then he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. And then he says, thou blind Pharisees. Cleanse first that which is within the cup, and the platter outside of them may also be clean. Paul, reiterating Jesus, makes this claim, which should really keep us on our toes. If you at all witness, if you at all teach people the Word of God, if you teach your children, if you ever teach Bible studies or try to talk to anybody about Jesus, this should keep you on your toes right here. Romans chapter 2 and verse 19. And art thou confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law? He says, you've got a form of it, but watch what he says. Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? This will slap you right between the nose. It will cause your eyes to water. Thou that preachest, a man should not steal. Do you? Thou that sayest, a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols. Do you commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. What Paul is trying to let us know here is that it's one thing to say, I believe this, and yet live something that's this. To say, I am this, and yet I really am this. There needs to be something on the inside of us that says, what I say I am, that's what I am. No matter where I am, no matter what situation it is, no matter whether anybody's there, no matter whether anybody sees me, if I'm alone, if I'm with others, it doesn't matter who I'm with. If this is what I preach, if this is what I say, if this is what I'm teaching my kids, if this is what I'm saying I am, this is what I am. It's easy to tell others how to live and what to do. That's why they came up with the saying, do as I say, not as I do. Because it is so easy to tell others how to live, but it's so often we neglect looking in the mirror and checking our own selves. This morning, or this evening, I did not check the mirror before I came to church. I had laid down to put Joel to sleep. I was putting Joel to sleep. I was making sure Joel was sleeping. And when I got up from putting Joel to sleep, I might have dozed off. And I didn't bother to look in the mirror. And I'm driving to church and my wife says, Joe, your hair's sticking up. Why? What am I trying to say? It's easy to avoid the mirror, to not catch our own flaws. It's easy to look at someone else and judge them, and to look at them and say, you've got this problem and you've got that problem and you ought to work on this and you ought to work on that. But I'm here to tell us tonight that we need to check our own selves in our own mirror and take a look at our own lives. So you know what? I'm not going to concern myself.
I'm going to make sure this platter's clean. I'm going to make sure this platter is right. I want to make sure this life, this temple of the Holy Ghost, is doing what it's supposed to do. Not just telling you what you're supposed to do. Not just teaching others what to do while I myself become a castaway. As Paul would say it, that is what they referred to as blind. That's one type of blindness. That wasn't the type of blindness I just got ready. That's a different kind. Matter of fact, let me jump ahead to something. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature." How many want that in your life? That's a nature I want. I want the divine nature, meaning it's like Christ. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these promises that are exceeding great and precious, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, say it with me, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in you," notice it doesn't stop, "if these be in you and abound," they won't abound if we're not diligent. I can have some faith. I can have some virtue. I can have some knowledge. I can have some self-control. I can have some patience. I can have some godliness. I can have some brotherly kindness. I can have some love. But if I'm not diligent in seeing this through, it won't abound. But the Bible tells us that these things, if these things are in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If this is abounding in my life will bear fruit. There will be something that begins to come out of who I am that others can see, that others can experience, that others will want. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The moment we stop giving diligence to add faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and love, when we stop giving diligence to those things, our eyes begin to gloss over. And no longer can we see the lost humanity. No longer can we see. How many was it, Brother Fleming, you said you preached to last year, you talked to? Witness to? How many was it last year that you said you witnessed to? 1,000 people.
1,000, let that sink, 1,000 people. If we're not careful, we can become so focused inwardly and focused on ourselves, and we're not adding diligence, we're not adding, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, and we're all of a sudden, our mind eye starts to gloss over, and before long, we can't see the lostness of humanity, and we can't see that there's a world that needs a God, and we can't see that there's people who need God, and we become focused instead on the things that are close because we can't see afar off. We're not able to see afar from Jesus. It was the Father that the Bible said looked and saw his Son afar off. It was the Father who was peering down the road, who was watching down the road, who was looking out afar. But I'm here to tell you, if we're not focused on the right things, before long, the Son could be trying to come home, but we can't see him. I can't see him. All I can see is what's around me. All I can see is my daily tasks, and all I can see the things that, and instead we major on the minor because we can't see afar. Jesus says, but Paul says, Peter says, I'll get the name right, one of these. It's in the Bible. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Meaning, all of a sudden do I start to believe that it was somehow of my own self that I got where I was. It was somehow because I did some things and I was better and I managed to do this. And why can't you get your act together? Why can't you see, look, I was able to do it. What's wrong with you? We forget that it was the grace and mercy of God. It was him purging our sins and washing our sins and giving us strength. He says to the church of Laodicea, I'm still on that first man that was blind. I've still got two more to go. And unto the angel of the Laodiceans write, I know, Steve, you're trying, I'm at Revelations 3:14. These things saith Amen, and faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says you don't realize that you've gone blind because your eyes are no longer looking out onto the fields and seeing that they're white and ready to harvest. Instead, you're looking at yourself and everything's all right. And I'm not preaching to any one person here tonight, and I'm not accusing any one person of being this, but what I'm challenging us is to look in the mirror and to see what we're seeing and to see. What have I become? Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I'm not able to see afar off. If I find myself not being able to see what God wants me to see, there should be something on the inside that says, God, anoint my eyes. God, anoint my eyes. Help me to see afar off. Help me to see that which you want me to see. And this is the message to the church. That we must make sure that we have not become spiritually blind. Because there are two other types of blind that I want to talk about here, and I'll run through them quick. There are two other types of blind that came to me as I was studying. And if we ourselves are blind, if I myself am blind, I will become nothing more than three blind mice. If I myself have become blinded, then I won't be able to do what I'm getting ready to talk about. You see, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho, and his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And everybody say immediately. He received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Can I tell you, all throughout this area are people who are spiritually blind. And I believe wholeheartedly that there are many who are out there even right now who are looking for Jesus. They are looking for someone to take them the gospel. They're looking for someone to share with them. They're looking for someone to show them who Jesus is. And I'm here to tell you that when they find him, there will be something on the inside of them that says, I want this now. And Jesus will look at them and he will immediately restore their sight. He will, how can I put it this way? That there are those who, when they come to the knowledge of the truth, will accept it right away. They've been seeking, they've been searching, they've been looking, they've been trying to find. And when it's presented to them, they will say, I want that, and I want that for me. I believe that throughout this region, there are people who are just that way. But then Mark chapter 8 and verse 22 leads us to another type. It says, and he cometh to Bethesda. And they bring him a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, notice this, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit
on his eyes. You thought swallowing a bug was bad. And put his hands upon him. He asked him, can you see? And he looks up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Can I tell you there's another type of spiritual blindness that is out there right now? That there are those who you will teach it to, you will tell it to, you will talk to them about God, and they'll be able to see, but they won't be able to see clearly. They won't necessarily grab it right away. They won't necessarily take it and just say, oh, this is everything. I've give up everything. I'm ready to change. But instead, they won't see quite clearly. And if we ourselves are spiritually blind, and we have forgotten what God did to change our lives, it will become very easy for us to say, well, see, they didn't want it. Well, see, they must not really have wanted it. They didn't really love God anyway. They really didn't care about him anyway. And we can become judgmental and we can become pharisaical and say, well, they really didn't want it and they must not be like us. But there needs to be something on the inside of us that says, I'm not willing to accept that for an answer. I'm not willing to accept partial. I'm not willing to accept them seeing just a little bit. I want to try to somehow get this out, that I want to be able to have my spirit right and my heart right, that when that takes place, I don't become judgmental and I don't cast a look at them. I'm here to tell you that we're going to see in these last days a revival amongst the people who have walked away. We're going to see that. We're going to experience that. Sister Schaefer, you may not know this. I sent a text to your boy the other day. We may not be able to see it in our own eyes. But I've got to understand something. I can't see clearly. I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense. Let me keep teaching you. Let me keep loving you. Let me keep helping you. Let me keep showing you. Let me keep praying for you. Let me keep praying for you. Let me keep praying for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to fast for you. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give some more time for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to do whatever I've got to do so that you don't walk around blind, but you can begin to see clearly. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, and I'm getting ready to close, I think. Yep, I am. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. if they can't see clearly, if they're blind, they're lost. If those three poor blind mice would have had eyes, they would have been able to see the butcher knife before it caught their tails. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. A measure for how spiritual we think we are is how do I feel about the lost? Am I apathetic towards them? Do I really care? Does it even bother me that there's people? If we open these curtains right now, you would see car after car after car after car driving by this church. If you would just go a short distance to the shopping areas, you would see people after people who are walking around blinded by the God of this world. And we sit here and enjoy the presence of God. But a measure of how close I am with God is how do I feel about them? Am I apathetic? Do I really care? Does it even bother me? Cars drive up and down this road. Hundreds, thousands of cars a day. Lost, blinded by the God of this world. Does it even stir me? You see, if I had the heart of Jesus and I had the eyes of Jesus, it would stir me. He looked on those and said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion and he felt bad. And he said, I've got to do something about it. I can't just go about my day. I can't just go about my week. I can't just go about my life. Because the gospel is hid. Oh, it may not be hid to us. But it's hid to them. And they're lost. So as I look in the mirror, what do I see? What is it that I see when I look there? You know what I can see? I've been swatting at too many gnats and swallowing too many camels. I've been worrying about things that have no eternal consequence and not worrying about the things that are the kingdom of God. The focus has been shifted. The focus has been wrong. What I need is eye salve. can I tell us what we need tonight is eye salve. Let's all stand. I don't want to be what Paul said was a blind guide. I don't want to be what Jesus said was a blind Pharisee. I don't want to be what Peter said was blind and can't see afar off. I want to do the things that Jesus came to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, then recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is what we've been called to do. That is what the church is to be. He has anointed us, not just so that I can feel his presence, not just so on a Sunday night I can get goosebumps and feel good. But he's anointed us so that we can preach to the poor. We can heal the brokenhearted. We can preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. We can preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So tonight I'm simply going to make an altar call. And it's simply this: God, look inside of me. Look in my heart. Check my heart. Check my priorities, Jesus. Check what I see. Before I accuse someone else of just not loving God. Because if they loved him, they would be here. If they loved him, they would be trying harder. If they loved him, they would care more. I'm sorry. They just might not see clearly right now. And instead of looking down upon them, and instead of casting a wayward eye at them, what if we loved them? What if we prayed for them? What if we cared for them? What if we allow Jesus to heal them completely? I wonder if you can come here tonight, if you can maybe find a place. Jesus, help me to see. Anoint my eyes. Jesus, allow me to see what you want me to see.